and this whole thing of not just knowing about God, not just believing in God, but experiencing Him. That is not just having some experience, but I'm saying that we put to the test, tried and proved in our daily life, who God is and everything He says. So God's not just some theory we believe in. He is God who lives in us and through us. We experience God. All right, I want you to please get this. It's not just that we're going to come together and read these teachings from the sacred book and we're just going to go out and we're going to try to remember those teachings and try to do our best to conform to those teachings. It goes beyond that. Whereas the author of this book actually wants to live inside you and live through you, and you not only experience and know what this says, but the one who said it is a real part of your life. In Him we live and move and have our being, Paul said. I think that's in Acts 17. But that's the truth. Now, we talked about knowing God's will. We talked last week about being God's ambassadors, that He invites us to join Him in what He's doing. This whole thing of spreading the light of the gospel, God has chosen to use sinners who have been saved by His grace, like you and me, to be the very ones through whom He does that. He didn't pick angels to go do it. They just support and help us. We're the ones. If people are going to hear about the gospel, it's only going to be because people like us share it. Now, we're going to point out again that no one can come to Him unless He draws them. And God's going to do His part, but He's given us responsibilities of things that we're to do. There are specific things that God wants to do, but He's determined to use us. So that means we have responsibilities to listen to God, to know God's will, and then because we trust God, to obey God. Now, I want to get beyond it just being about me trying to hear God's voice and straighten myself up. Now, God does want that, amen? Because He doesn't want it. God is not going to use a dirty vessel. And so the closer I get to Him and the more I live to be holy and honorable to God, the more God's going to be able to use me. That's very important. And the more God's going to be able to bless me, because it's not, well, if I do good, then it's not karma. Do good, good things will happen. You know, karma is nothing. The law of the harvest is something, because the Bible said what you sow, that's what you're going to reap, okay? That's what we're talking about. But God says there's times He would love to bless us and do many things, but our sin and our unbelief block the way. So it's all about me learning to follow. Jesus, remember we did a series years ago, not a fan? Jesus has enough fans, people who are like cheering Jesus on and yay for Jesus, but He's not looking for fans. He's looking for true followers, those who are willing to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow Him. And in those days, when you saw someone carrying a cross, it was what? A one-way journey, okay? Now, in being a part of what God's doing, because we understand God is at work in this world today, all around us. This book, the Bible, is a history of God's relentless pursuit of lost human beings. God created us with a free will, and with that, we chose rebellion against God. God didn't create us like the animals or anything else to operate on instinct. He made us a little lower than the angels, but yet we also were given that ability to choose, because love demands a choice, right? God wanted to love us, and He wanted us to choose to love Him back. Adam and Eve chose to disobey God and brought sin and the curse of sin into this world. But guess what? We can't blame it all on them, because you and I have also sinned. There's none righteous. All have sinned. And God's work to bring lost humanity in reconciliation to Himself, as we said last week, is what this whole book's about. That's the message of this book. And then we found out last week that God not only wants to do this, but He wants to involve you in His ministry of reconciling people who are estranged from God, people who are lost, people who are, in fact, the Bible says, enemies of God. If you're not for Him, you're against Him, right? to bring them back into a relationship with him. The relationship is the key. God wants to use us to do that. If I'm going to do that, I've got to learn to listen to his voice. How does God speak? Now, my thinking is that I want to talk about God speaking to his people. And then maybe tonight, if you might show up at like 6, we'll try to keep it short, but we're going to talk about how to recognize God's voice, right? Okay, so that's the idea. Read with me there in John chapter 10, verse 22. It was the Feast of the Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus is walking. There's a lot of people there for this. Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's Porch. Now, that's a place in the temple there that was kind of a big area. And then it says in verse 24, the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." So there's an expectation that the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah was coming. And so all of these miracles that no one else had ever been able to do are happening. Jesus is teaching like no one else. And they still don't get it. I don't know what they're wanting, but they say, "If you really are, why don't you just come out and tell us?" Jesus answered them, verse 25, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." Now, if you go back to chapter 8 and so forth, you're going to find that we've been through this before. Under the law, two witnesses were required to prove something. The works that Jesus did, the word that Jesus spoke, so those are a witness. And also, the Father is a witness. And that's why they wanted to kill him, because this one that he said is his Father who sent him, who gives him the authority to do all of this, he's witness, he's testifying through the works that are happening through me and through the words. So I not just have me being a witness of myself, he's a witness, and he's also the one that you say he is your God. And they couldn't handle that part. So we've been here before, and that's why he says, "I told you and you do not believe," verse 25. He says, "The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." So the works like no one else could do. Then he says, "But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." And he says that his sheep hear his voice and follow him. Now, God has always spoken to his people. He spoke to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in Genesis. He spoke to Abraham. He spoke to all the great patriarchs. God spoke to the judges, the kings, the prophets. God was in the early church speaking to and speaking through his disciples. God spoke to John on the Isle of Patmos in the Revelation. And we find that God uses various methods through different periods of time to communicate to his people. But one thing we find is constant through the Bible: God is speaking to us. Are you hearing his voice? Now, how does God speak to us? We'll talk about that a little bit, because some people are always hearing voices. That's scary, because Satan can sneak in there. And some people are always having dreams and visions. Now, it's not that God could not speak in an audible voice, but some people who keep hearing God speak to them, I wonder if we could have recorded God's voice, what it would have sounded like. "Moses." I just think God's got a voice like that. I think when God called out to Moses from the bush, it wasn't, "Hey, Moses," you know. I think it was, "Moses." Probably because I watched the Ten Commandments growing up, you know, and on the old version, you know, and everything. But I wonder if we could have recorded God's voice when he was speaking to you, what it sounded like. We might be surprised that it sounded like your voice. Because what you thought you was hearing from God might have actually been you. You see why you can get deceived there. The enemy can sneak in and speak to you, and he always likes to disguise himself. So I've got to have something more than that. If somebody's saying God's speaking to me, I've got to have some way to know that this is right. This is really happening, and it's not just something weird or the devil trying to deceive you, okay? Or somebody's always going around saying God speaks to them like nobody else, and if you're not careful, you're putting yourself on a higher spiritual level. Like, well, you know, me and God, he tells me stuff y'all don't know about. See, I'm right, and there's a spiritual conceitedness. And some of you grew up in churches where that happens a lot, and I've had to hear stories of abuse almost. People who claim to have that authority over you because they know, it's bad. We're not going there. As far as dream or vision, I'm not saying God can't and won't speak through that. In fact, if you were here Sunday night, you even heard one of our missionaries tell about how God spoke to one of the guys in Africa to lead him to go somewhere where he got the gospel, and just amazing things happened. God can do what he wants to do. But I'm telling you, if you're worrying about dreams, it might be God, or it might be that extra saucy burrito that you had last night. It might be that. It might be the fact that you watched too much TV before you went to bed. What I'm saying is it's unreliable. And God will speak to you sometimes through other people. But I'm telling you, there's been a lot of other people even put their hands on me and try to claim to speak for God, and what they said was absolutely not from God. God knows where I'm at. He knows how to get my attention to speak to me. God will use other people. We're going to see that. Sometimes circumstances line up. It gets my attention. But you know what? Sometimes I misinterpret circumstances, and we're going to find out just because there's an open door doesn't mean it's God's door. So how do I know? And God uses of many ways, and we even find in the Bible, and he tells us in Hebrews 1:1-2, the writer of Hebrews starts off, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Jesus is the final word. And we're going to find out that God's not only revealing the great mystery of his redemptive plan through the pages of Scripture, he also reveals the mystery of how he brings all things together in one, Jew, Gentile, right? God made all the nations out of one blood, Paul said in Acts 17. Again, I don't know why I keep going there. Maybe we should just stop and read that chapter. Anyway, you do it later. But how God brings all things together in Christ. But he also tells us that not only that Jesus said, am I going to go to the Father, but I'm sending the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of Christ, God the Spirit. And he's not just going to, I've been with you, but now I'm going to be, God is going to be living in you through the Holy Spirit. He's going to call to mind the things that I've taught you. So then we have the New Testament being written. God spoke through the prophets, and as they wrote things down, it was inspired of God. We have the Old Testament. But now Jesus speaks. Jesus is here, and when you're hearing Jesus speak, that is an encounter with God because it's God speaking. And then the rest of the New Testament were written through those that he personally sent out, his apostles that he sent out. They either are the ones that wrote it or those who worked directly under them, like Mark or like Luke, like Jude. And so we have this direct connection to Jesus through every bit of it. And that's why a lot of things had to happen the way that they did, because there was already so much false teaching. Everybody needed to know that what was being said connects to Jesus. This is his word to us. Now today, if I want to know if God is speaking to me, we have this completed. And it's not to be added to or taken away from. Okay? Right? We believe, and this is something that's never up for debate here at our church, whether this is the inspired word of God from cover to cover. In fact, we believe, and can I throw it at you? If you were here a couple Sunday nights ago, we were talking about the doctrine of Scriptures. We believe in what we call, listen, this sounds good. You want to use this, I tell you. Plenary verbal inspiration of Scripture. Plenary verbal. Here's basically what that means. We believe that inspiration, where God moved the human authors, moved them, so he used them so that when the word hit the page, it was exactly what God wanted. We believe it extends even to the choice of words, even though each different writer had their own unique styles. But God influenced even down to the word level in the original language. Okay? So that's what we believe. That's never, ever up for debate. Around here. So based on the word of God, this is complete. So now if you want to know if somebody's speaking the message of God, all you've got to do is open this book and see. And you've got to rightly read this. You've got to rightly understand it, rightly interpret it, rightly apply it. Because you can bend and twist this book and try to make it say anything you want to say. And people have always done that. In fact, I'm not going to go there, but Peter's even talking about some of the things that Paul wrote and how people are already twisting them, all right? And that's when he's talking about inspiration, by the way. So the thing about it is I've got to base it on the Word of God. It all comes from His Word. So this is where we start. This is the primary way that God's going to speak to you. A lot of what God wants in your life, a lot of the will of God for your life is right here. I want to know God's will for my life. I want to know this or that. It's right here. You need to get into it. See, because a lot of times we want to bypass this. I want some easy way of knowing. I want God just to zap me. I want God just to whisper it to me. I want God to write it on the wall. I do. I've even prayed, Lord, would you just please write it on the wall? Because I'm too dumb to understand it sometimes. God said, I want you to get in the scriptures and dig. And I want you to seek me. Don't just seek the answer, seek me. How many times we spend time in the Word digging and searching and just trying to find an answer to something instead of trying to find the one who is the answer? See, that's what it all leads to. So we want to bypass, we want to short circuit the process because we want things quick and easy. If you don't want to spend time in the Word and learning how to rightly divide the Word, you don't want to spend time in listening to the Word of God proclaimed and taught and preached by those God that has called to do it. If you don't want to spend time reading, you're not going to know a lot. You're not going to learn a lot. You're not going to be very strong. I'm sorry. There's no way around it. God's Word is alive and powerful. And a lot of what God wants you to do is already here. So there's people that will come and say, well, what do you think God would have me to do about this? I'm like, well, we have some clear scripture that speaks on that. There will be principles of scripture. Now, here's where I'm going. He's saying you're making tough decisions like change jobs, whether to retire or not, who to marry. A lot of daily choices about important things. I did not find a verse in this book that said, Mel Moon, be watching for those big eyes and that beautiful smile that's going to come upon you one day. Nobody prophesied over me and said, one day when you're, 17, you're going to get up to preach and you're going to turn around and there's going to be some big eyes that just capture you. That happened in Batesville, Arkansas, back in 1985. It did happen. I didn't know it was going to happen. I was actually interested in someone else. But anyway, one of Clarissa's friends. I didn't know she was going to be there. And God kept us apart. We'd actually gone to church camp at the same place, but we'd never met each other. And then I told you the story about Brother Glenn going to be the sponsor in my cabin one year at camp. The first day he was there, the first hours he's there, he got very, very sick, had to go to the hospital, and got pneumonia. He would have been my sponsor. God struck him down because God knew he was going to bring me and Clarissa together years later. Could you imagine? I was like 12 years old at that time. Could you imagine, you know, years later when I showed up at his house and, Dad, I wanted you to meet this guy, and he would have taken a look at me and went, you! So God did something there. But no, anyway, he was going to be my sponsor. The first day there, he was sick and left, but we never met each other really. Until I got up and speaking at doing a youth revival there in Batesville, and I got up and I turned around, and boy, you know, talk about God speaking to you. I heard the Lord speak to me. He said, hubba, hubba, right? And it's like, I don't know. Anyway, but I didn't know, is this me or is this you, God, right? Yeah, that wasn't God's voice. That was mine. Sounded just like me. But anyway, as we got to grow with each other and know each other and to grow a relationship, I could find principles in here on how I should choose someone to date and to be around, okay? I had principles in here of how I should manage that relationship, but exactly which one of the eligible bachelorettes it might be, it didn't tell me. So I had to learn to listen to God and making decisions of going to college, making decisions even whenever we came here. A lot of people thought we were crazy when I came to Hartville. How am I going to know? Lord, speak to me. Lord, show me. And so that's what I want to talk about is God also does want to speak to you in the specifics of your life. But before I lost your attention, I wanted to tell you that every bit of it is based on you spending time in the Word of God where God primarily speaks. And you're not going to short-circuit this or find a shortcut around this. You've got to stay in the Word. You've got to seek God. And sometimes God delays His answer because it makes us seek Him more. If every time I ask, if I just got the answer like that, I wouldn't grow. But there's times that there's agony and there's a process. See, I want to get from point A to point B. How about you? That's my objective. And I'm praying, God, help me to know what I need to do to get from point A to point B. And he will do that. God does not want to keep his will a secret from you. But it's in between point A and point B, that struggle and that process, that's what I don't like. I want to just get me there. But here's what I know God is teaching me. It's that process from point A to point B of seeking him and finding his answer where God changes me and teaches me and deepens me. Without that process, I'm not going to grow and I'm not going to be as close to him. So we want instant answers, but he says, I'm not going to probably do that. There's times that God has given me an answer before I even knew to ask the question. And it's not boring walking with the Lord. It's not. But there's been times of prolonged delay and seeking. So it can happen anyway. There's no pattern. But Jesus said that when I'm gone, I'm still going to be speaking to you. God wants to speak to you. God wants you to know his word and know his will, but he also wants you to know some specifics about what he wants for your life. Are you open to hear it? Because if you're not, we might as well just stop right here, right now, because that was their problem. Jesus is pointing out, you're not my sheep. You don't want to be my sheep. You're not wanting to hear God's voice. You want to hear the voice that you want to hear. And you know what? There's a lot of people like that. They want it when they read the word, they try to interpret their way. And whenever they're hearing a preacher, they want to find a preacher to say it the way they want it said. So really, they're wanting to hear their own voice, but say it's coming from God. Jesus said this. He says in John 14:26, let's document it. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. He goes on to say in chapter 16, verse 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, just a lot of the different titles and names given to the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, when he has come, he will guide you into all truth. He's all about the truth. He's never going to lead you to error. The Holy Spirit's never going to lead you to do anything that contradicts what word already says. Let's get that out there too. He's never going to lead you to do anything that contradicts what he's already instructed in his word that he authored. It says that he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. He's not doing his own thing. It's all one thing. It's all God's plan, God's truth, okay? He says, Jesus says he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit's not here to glorify anything, anyone else, or even himself. He's here to glorify Jesus. And that's what he said that he's going to be doing. So scriptures are complete today, and the Holy Spirit is at work in the world today, all around us, and I pray in us. He wants to communicate what God is doing so God can not only change your life and make you more Christ-like, but also can use you in what he's doing and show you his plan. Okay, so God wants to talk to you. He wants to communicate specific details of how he wants to work in and through your life. This is what God wants. So that's a lot different than just attending church and doing this stuff and then just go home and just try to be a good person. It's so much more than that. That would be boring, but this is life. And he wants you to know. And that's what we said before. Some people follow the writings of Muhammad. But guess what? Muhammad's dead, and there's nothing left of him to enter into his followers to help them to understand and to do what he says. There's nothing left of him, but, you know, where there's false religion, there is a power, but it doesn't come from God. And if it doesn't come from God, where does it come from? There's only one other place. Teachings of Buddha are pretty interesting. But there's really nothing left of him to enter into his followers. Same could be said of Confucius. Or of all the writings of the Hindus. But with this, the author, according to Jesus, is present with you to help you not only understand, but to apply what he said. This is like nothing else in the world, see? This isn't religion. This is relationship with God, okay? Now, we've got a few things I just want to mention before we try to bring this together, because I want you to be hearing God's voice, not so much my voice. And I always pray, Lord, help me not to get into your way for how you're speaking. So hearing God's voice. In the Old Testament, we said God spoke in a variety of ways. For instance, how did he speak to Moses? Moses didn't have a Bible he could open. In fact, God used him to start writing down Scripture. How was it God spoke to Moses? How did God get his attention? How did Moses have an encounter with God and where God gave him in specific instruction of what God wanted him to do? Remember that burning bush? Yeah, the burning bush is something unusual. He goes there. And so that experience was not Moses' burning bush experience, and that's what how, and you know, if Moses would have been alive today, and like some people today, he'd be writing books and selling books. How to find your burning bush. Where to look for burning bushes. How to hear God in a burning bush. Boy, we'd be buying it and reading it. No. This never happened again. It never happened before, and it never happened again. Okay? And so it wasn't about the burning bush. It was about God. Moses' burning bush experience was his encounter with God. Okay? So you don't want to just have a church experience and this and that. What you want to do is actually experience and encounter God in your life. It was instruction from God himself. But all through the Old Testament in different ways, usually when God spoke to the Old Testament prophets, it was unique to that individual. So I can't pattern. And I hear people today that you'll read some story in the Old Testament and think, well, you know, Elijah called fire down from heaven. Lord, bring fire down on him. You know, and you just look crazy. God may not do that again like that. But God spoke to an individual. It was unique. And but here's what happened was, in not having all the scriptures like we have, they were at a handicap. I mean, you think, well, boy, if I was Elijah or if I was Jeremiah or if I was Isaiah. No, you've got it better than they do, and so do I. Because they didn't have the whole book. Did you know that? And not everybody in the Old Testament days were filled with the Spirit. But here's what they did have. When God spoke, it was unique to that individual. And it happened in such a way, and it doesn't give us all the details, but when it happened, they knew it wasn't the burrito. They knew, and it wasn't just, you know, something else. They knew it was God. God confirmed it in such a way that they knew it was God. And not themselves and not the devil. They knew it was God. And they knew what God said. There was no doubt about it. God didn't just, you know, make it. God made it clear to them of what he wanted them to do. So the key in the Old Testament is not how God spoke, but that he spoke and what he was saying. That's still true today. I mean, when God spoke to Moses, he made sure Moses didn't miss it, right? God spoke. The person knew it was God. Moses understood what God expected him to do, did he not? There was no question about that. Now, please understand this. Sometimes there are things that God wants to talk about the future. And so sometimes when it comes to that kind of prophecy, it's designed to be cloudy. I mean, I'm not going to get up here and tell you exactly how everything's going to happen that hasn't happened yet that the Bible talks about. And some of those things don't actually become clear until they are happening. What scares me is how many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of prophecies we have about the first coming of Christ. And the best Bible scholars of the day, most all of them missed it. And so I want to watch for the signs, but I want to keep my eyes on Jesus. Some people are more worried about the signs and what's this and what's that. And you know what? I ain't even going to talk about the eclipse tomorrow. I mean, good grief. Anyway, except one disclaimer. If you're so stupid that you want to look at the sun any day, you deserve the eye problems you're going to have. Okay, that's it. But anyway, some of these things are just designed to be cloudy until God wants to clear it up, right? And I think as a lot of these things happen, they'll become clear. And we'll talk about it from time to time, but there are some things that he's designed that way. But listen to this. When it comes to instruction, God always makes it clear. When it comes to instruction of what he wants us to do, God always makes it clear. That's not good enough. When God was wanting you to know what he wants you to do, he makes it clear in his word. Do you believe that? Yeah, amen. He doesn't want to keep it a secret. So you say, well, the Bible's just too mysterious. I can't understand it. There's parts of it that is very mysterious. But as far as a clear instruction of his to you, it is clear of who we're to be, how we're to live, all of these things. So in the Gospels, as we come into the New Testament time, God spoke through his son. And he said, in these last days, I'm speaking through my son. So a lot of what does Jesus want for my life? You start here. It's pretty clear. It's really clear. You don't have to be a genius to understand it. The most simple-minded can actually understand it, of what he wants, okay? And the plan of salvation, all of that. God spoke through his son. So when Jesus was here, he wasn't just some teacher. He was God speaking to us. In fact, that's what the Word of God says. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Greek word is logos. He's the logos. He was in the beginning. That means beginning, he's already there. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he tells us that this one who he's calling the Word, the Logos, in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. Obviously, he is talking about Jesus. So he actually uses the phrase, he is the Word. You want to get a word from God, you got to get Jesus first. In the book of Acts, until present time, you got to understand, God is speaking, but things changed in there. Remember, Acts is a book of transition. Jesus ascends back into heaven during this time. It was during the time that Acts is being written that God gives us his inspired word. We call it the New Testament. God's inspired word was a primary source to know what God is saying and to know what God expects from you. God's word, it's being penned down, it's being written down during that time span. And that's why I say you cannot bypass it. But a lot of time, many in the present time act as if, you know, this is as far as it goes, the word of God. And, you know, it just says these things, and you can just know these things, but as far as me specifically, I just got to hammer it out on my own. Those people are called rationalists. So there's extremes here. There's rationalists that, well, the Bible says things, but all I can know is what the Bible says, and I just got to figure out the best I can on my own how that applies to me. According to Jesus, that's not true, because he gave his Spirit to live in you to help you understand and empower you, okay? But a lot of us tend to be rationalists. Not really thinking God has anything specific to say to us as individuals. Then on the other extreme, there are mystics. So we have rationalists on one extreme and mystics on the other extreme. And those who are mystics, almost everything's mysterious and everything's sensational. And there's any little thing that happens, you know, you happen to have an eclipse, you happen to have a shooting star. Well, it's got to be God giving me some special message. Sometimes it's just what it is, you know. But everything becomes more than what it is. So you want to watch those two extremes, okay? Am I getting through? I hope so, because, man, you guys are a tough audience in some ways today, you know, and you're saying, well, you're tough to listen to. Okay, I get it. I get it. No, don't say that. Don't say that. The truth is this. So the question is, does God still speak to us individually? All right? That's what is on the table today. And the answer is God still speaks personally, directly and clearly to his people through his Spirit. We've seen that kind of put together here. That's how God does it. Now, as I said, I'm not just talking about, God uses a variety of things. It's not just that, some bird's going to light on the fence and speak in a human voice and it's God talking to you. I mean, it's crazy stuff like that. What I'm saying is, I'm talking about the promise that God, that he sent his Spirit, and God is still present in the world, and God is still at work through his Spirit. We studied last week, the Holy Spirit must draw us to Christ. And in Ephesians 1:18, he prays, open the eyes of our understanding, that the Holy Spirit illuminates us. God's word is already revealed. It's already been revealed by God. It's already inspired and written down. And the Holy Spirit's job, the Holy Spirit's job is to illuminate our understanding. He throws on the light switch so we can understand and apply the Word of God. And that's what he's doing today, but he still wants to speak specifically in your life. Now, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit is involved in your life. You can't be saved without him. Okay? 1 Corinthians 3:16, he said, do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? You are the temple. We talk about the temple, the house of God. In the New Testament, it's not a building like this or any other thing or a cathedral. It is the physical body of the believer. You are. The Holy Spirit lives in you. God lives in you. If you're saved, God lives in you. Hallelujah. Come on. I just told you something awesome. And then you can't be saved without him. Romans 8:9, he says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now, wait a minute. I'm in the flesh. He's talking about you're not being led by the flesh. You're not living in the flesh. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, I highlighted this part. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. You can't be his without him. Okay? So, and I understand we get a lot of terms flip-flopped and confused. Even baptism of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, things like that. But what he's saying is you can't be saved without him. And if you don't have the Spirit of God, then you're not saved. As simple as we can say it. So here's what it is. Holy Spirit, God, the Spirit. So as the Holy Spirit, we have the Word of God, and we have the Spirit of God living in us. And as God speaks to us, guess what that is? An encounter with the Holy Spirit is an encounter with God. All right? Amen? Amen. We understand that. Okay, you got that. So how? What does he do? What's his job? Well, I'm going to take time to go in detail through all these. I could take more than all morning. Okay, I'm about to run out of time. But that he reveals the Word of God to you. The Word of God is already revealed and inspired, but he helps lift the cloud from your mind so that you get it. You cannot read and understand the Word of God without the Spirit. So if you've never received Christ and you're not saved and you're trying to understand all this first, your only thing he's going to help you understand is that you need to be saved, that you're a sinner and his plan of redemption. And once you have him living in you to throw on the light switch, then you can understand other stuff. And I talk to people who aren't saved that know all kinds of stuff about the Bible, and they always are taken out of context. They twist and they turn it, and it's amazing how the enemy helps them do that. There's no way you're really going to get this until you have Jesus as your Savior, okay? So you just can't. And he also convicts you of sin. That's one of the big jobs that he has, is to convict us of sin. He also reveals things in my life that need to change and grow. There's one way he's going to speak to me. As I'm reading the inspired word and as I'm understanding it and applying it, he's going to speak to me through this and in my heart to help me to see things that need to change, things that need to be dealt with. And he is my guide in understanding what God expects of me. So I get this, and I'm beginning to understand this. Now let's look at my situation. The Holy Spirit will guide me, speak to me in my heart, and help me in my heart and my mind to understand what God expects of me in this situation, at work, in this situation, at school, in this situation, in my family. He's going to help me take the Word of God and know how to apply it and know what God's will is specifically in situations that I find myself in. In that time when I'm in an argument with my wife, I like that, Mike. Instead of saying amen, he goes, the Holy Spirit is going to be at work. Now, as we study, got to be ready to respond. As you pray, you got to watch to see how God uses his word to confirm something in your heart. So we're going to find out that God uses his word primarily through his Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, none of this works. Prayer. I'm trying to summarize, okay, and go fast. So you listen fast. Prayer. As we're praying and seeking him. Sometimes I just keep praying about finding my answer, and God gets me convicted in my prayers that I need to be seeking him more than the answer, because when I get him, I get the answer. More about him. So there's the Word of God and through prayer. God also speaks, not just through the Word of God and through prayer, but through circumstances. Things that are happening around me. As I'm in the Word and as I'm praying and I've got my eyes open, I can see God at work. I see things lining up. Does God want this to happen? Some things begin to line up. Like I said, just sometimes an open door doesn't necessarily mean that that's God's will. The enemy may put open doors in front of you. So there's no one of these things. There's no simple formula. I think I had that up there somewhere. But our problem is sin gets in the way. There's no simple formula. It's all these things, God lining up and working together. I'm in his word, number one. That's where we start. Amen? And I'm asking him to help me understand his word and apply his word. And then I'm praying and I'm seeking him. And thirdly, I'm keeping my eyes open, watching the circumstances around me. Here's another thing, is other people in the church, in the body of Christ. Got a lot of scriptures we could study and do a whole nother Bible study on that, and as far as counsel and being a part of a body of believers. Now, I've had Christians give me horrible advice. I've had Christians speak thinking that they're speaking from God and tell me things that were not God's will for me at all. And things like that. But there are times as I'm seeking God and I'm praying and I'm watching the circumstances line up, And then God lines up other people in the family to give me the word of encouragement, to give me the word of counsel. When I start seeing all these things line up, I'm seeing God getting my attention. Now, even when I was a crazy 22-year-old and I really felt that God was speaking to me that I needed to put the house up for sale that we only lived in 2 years and move to Hartville, Missouri, which, where's that? Oh, we're an hour from, not everybody knows where Springfield is even. We're an hour from Bass Pro. That's an hour and a half from Branson or so. You know, that's how you say it. How do we do that? We're living in Moore, Oklahoma at the time. People, there were some Christians that come up and said, I think you're getting out of the will of God. I think God wants you to finish the degree that you're trying to finish right here. I actually had believers say that. That meant well. But their object was, we don't see how God can use you without that bachelor degree. Now, I had others say this and others say that. But so I can't use people alone as my guide. Circumstances, sometimes there are obstacles. I mean, Israel gets into the promised land and there are walled cities and giants. There were tough circumstances. What I'm saying is you can't use any one of those by themselves. But as you're in the Word and as you're in prayer, the Holy Spirit will help you see the circumstances and then the godly advice from people. And you got to be careful that I'm not just asking advice from brothers and sisters who I know will say what I want to hear. But as it all comes together, it begins to line up. And then I can step out with confidence. And God will give peace. There's that inner feeling of peace as well. And so most of the time when God's speaking to me about something specific, this is the process I go through. In His Word, okay, I want God to just give me a sign. God's not obligated to give us any sign. Did you know that? Remember what Jesus said to the people who were asking Him to show them a sign? You know what Jesus said? I don't know if I've got that written down or not. Matthew 12, I think it is. Matthew 12, verse 38 and 39. He said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks a sign. They had all the sign they're going to get. And he said, the only other sign you're going to get is the sign of Jonah. Remember, Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the big fish, and then Jesus is going to be 3 days in the belly of the earth in the grave? Okay, yeah, and they didn't understand that either. But so I want to just seek to know Him. And as I seek to know Him, I want to walk with Him. And I've got to understand there's something going to run interference called sin. Remember this verse here where it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. I've got to trust God. This is my problem, is sin can get in the way. And I can think I'm hearing from God, but I'm hearing from me. But I can't know God's voice or His truth unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to me. Okay? And so He speaks through the Bible, through prayer, circumstances, the church. In that order. And I don't want to bypass the scriptures again. I got to keep emphasizing that. Or prayer. And it's no one thing. I mean, a lot of one thing is in His Word. But I'm saying with circumstances, other people, and things like that. I don't need to do something just because one person said it. I've got to be in this process, okay? And so I don't want to confuse you, but I want you to know God doesn't want to keep you from finding out specifically. Hey, there's maybe even some people here that you're trying to find a church. We're not the only church, but I pray that you'll hear God's voice as He leads you to not just where you want to attend, but where you want to plug in and become a part of the ministry, a part of the body, okay? This is where we were reading. He talks about how His sheep hear His voice and they follow Him. So here's the key. And I'm going to turn it off. I'm stopping right here. I got more, but I'm going to stop. Here's where we're going to stop, okay? Do you really want to specifically know what God wants you to do in your daily life? Are you willing to make sure that you're in His Word, you're humbled before Him, you're willing to do what the Word clearly says you ought to do? If there's sin it exposes in my life, I need to repent of it. Am I willing to spend time in prayer and seeking God, seeking to understand His Word and how to apply it? And then am I willing with that to have ask God through His Spirit to help me to interpret the circumstances around me? And then being part of a body of believers so that I'm not just getting some weird angle on me, but I'm asking others and I'm taking counsel from the body of Christ and other believers. And am I willing when things begin to line up and I know God's giving me a direction, am I willing to move? Because I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. If God is speaking to you about something very specific that He wants you to do, to be a part of His plan in your life, if He knows that you're not willing to do it, why should he tell you? I just can't get any direction from God. God just won't speak to me. Man, I pray. I try to just listen. I try to observe. I'm even in his word. But it's just nothing. Well, it may be that delay where he wants you to seek him more and just stay at it. And it'd be more about him than about you getting your answer. I just said something pretty important, I think. I hope I remember that tomorrow. But here's something else. If God knows, because he knows your heart, that it doesn't matter how clear he makes it. And when I'm saying, God could write it on the wall if he wanted to, right? He did that one day. That's the only time I find it. Anyway, but I've asked him to do it. But he says, no, I want you to buckle down here. I want you to stay in the word. I want you to keep praying. I want you to keep your eyes open. I want you to be observing the circumstances and see what I'm at work. And I want you to listen to wise counsel from other believers. But if God already knows my heart and knows that no matter if he does write it on the wall or send an angel to physically appear and touch me and say, this is it, if he knows in my heart I'm not going to obey what he says to do, if I've already got that negative feeling, he's under no obligation to show me anything. I mean, why should God... Why should God show me and speak to me what he wants me to do next when I'm not willing to do what I already know he wants me to do now? Let's pray.